Okay. So, last time, we left off on Daf Lamed Vav Amud Aleph, and the previous Gemara, and I think to understand a little bit why it's here, why these two things are juxtaposed. I mean, there are a couple of connections, but there is a literary juxtaposition as well, which is that the previous passage discussing the question of olive oil that's consumed in the context of refuah, that you would have thought that you don't have to make a bracha since you're only taking the refuah, which is partially true, as we pointed out. If you take a food that's only medicinal and you get no hana from it, then, I mean, it's not food. It's, you take a pill. We don't say you make a bracha on a pill. But if it's a food that is taken for medicinal purposes, but you get physical pleasure from it, so then the Gemara concluded that section about 10 lines down or so, Kevan de Isle hana mine, since you get hana, since you get benefit, I mean the benefit, the pleasure, obviously you get benefit from medicine because it makes you better, hopefully, but the benefit you get from the food, the enjoyment of the food, what we might term either hana'as hagaron or hana'as ha'ameayim, the benefit, the pleasure of the throat or the pleasure of the stomach, so that's why you have to make a bracha. So we're going to have the same thing in our Gemara as well to conclude it. Our Gemara here is going to talk about an issue that will recur again, and this is one of the central questions that occurs in Hilchos Brachos. Let me formulate the question this way. What bracha do you make on Pringles? Oh, that was a rhetorical question, but that's okay. my answer would be no. It's not the OU's answer either. Rebelski Paskind, otherwise you make Kadama on it. And the reason why people would think that you make Shahakol on Pringles is because it has changed. It's Nishtana. And this is a concept that's often thrown out there. Oh, if it's Nishtana, then you make a Shahakol or something like that. And such a theory is not very well rooted in the Gemara, actually. This is one of the pieces, one of the sugyas that it emerges in. If I were to articulate the alternative thesis, Nishtana is only a reason to make a bracha of Shahakol when it has been reduced into what might be termed an inferior form. If, however, you have changed it into something that is superior, which is clear, or equal, or I would even say, to borrow the Rif's formulation, is common, so then there's no reason to think that that should change the bracha. So let's begin.
I'm inferior.
Well, let's say you take, you could have wheat, we could have kernels of wheat. Now, the truth is nobody eats them raw, but they might roast them and eat them. But maybe the Gemara talks about someone who's kosei sesachita. He's chewing on a wheat kernel. So you might do that, but not too many people would grind it into flour and eat the flour straight. That's the topic the Gemara is about to have. That's the issue that's about to come up.
The applesauce.
I guess it's the applesauce. It's the same type of an issue. The applesauce, right, it's the applesauce issue. It's a related but not exactly the same question comes up with fruit juices. You take an apple, you squeeze it out, and what bracha do you make on the juice? So there are a lot of different, theoretically there are a lot of different shittos there depending upon how normal it is to consume that. But I will tell you that there's ample evidence, and I think the Chasen Ish Paskins this way, that if you have orange juice, not with pulp, just orange juice, from juice oranges, meaning where they're grown for that purpose, that you make ha'etz on it, not shahakol. So I don't think it's widespread practice, but that in fact is the much more compelling position. This issue is going to recur several times in the parak, this idea of extracting something, of changing something's form, but it's not far from clear, at least in the Ikar HaDin. You can always say you make a shakol just in case, because you get all sheikhs that way. Because if you make a shakol on anything, you fulfilled your obligation. The shakol is the bracha kohalas. Right? There are two solutions to these problems of brachas. One is make a shakol. The other one is wash, and which I actually am very skeptical of as being actually an appropriate solution. It is. It's mentioned by Rabbi Tami de Rayona here, but it's actually not so simple on all things to wash. There are some things you could wash on, but I would say that if you had a dessert, for example, that you weren't sure what bracha to make on, washing doesn't help you, because when you have a dessert in the meal, you have to make a bracha on it anyway, so you've solved no problems, right? There is also a tendency occasionally found, as will emerge here, not on our page, but it's quoted here, in connection with this Gemara, of what happens if you're not sure what the bracha achrona on something is going to be. So, some solutions, well, don't eat it that way. eat it only in a meal. That's at least a better solution. So I know there are people who really don't. I have friends, a good friend who really just hates this. It really troubles him about. He's a fine ben Torah, fine lamdan. This is not a statement of not being so from or not committed to fromkai. But there's a Tosfos later in the parak that talks about, are you allowed to eat a single grape? You're looking at me funny. A single grape. Some people know. These, I'm not sure it's a myth or not. I think it's a myth about never cook one egg at a time. Always cook two eggs or something like that. So can you have a single grape? Now, what's the problem with a single grape? The problem with a single grape is that a single grape probably doesn't have depending on your grape, is not the size of a cassia, it's not the size of an olive. So you would say, fine, so eat a single grape, make a bright, and you don't have to make a bracha achrona because you didn't eat a cassia. As we probably mentioned at some point, as we will see again, any amount that you eat requires a bracha rishona. But in order to make a bracha achrona, be it bircha samazon, be it the bracha achas mein shalos, the alamichi, alaperos, whichever of those, to make a bar nefashos, you have to have at least a tizayis. You need to have an olive size. So eat the grape and don't make the bracha. The reason why Tosis is not certain is because there's a Yerushalmi that sounds as if you eat a single, even something less than a kazayis, if it's a cold creature, if it's a whole beria, as we call it, then you make a bracha achron on it. So this concept is borrowed from the laws of Yoredeya, of Bittul, of Isur v'Heter, that even though normally to violate an order, something to be nullified in an admixture of the prohibited and the permitted, you needed 60 times the permitted times the prohibited. So if that were the case, you might say to me, well, why does anybody ever care about bugs in fruits and vegetables? Because the volume of the bug is far less than 1/60th. So I might say half tongue-in-cheek, not completely tongue-in-cheek. Some of us don't worry that much about the bugs in the vegetables. But assuming that there were, but you knew there were going to be bugs in the vegetables, the problem is, you know, that's that old joke, but it's actually not true from a halachic perspective. What's the only thing worse than finding a worm in an apple?
A half a worm
in an apple. The truth from a halachic perspective, it's not correct. Much better to find half a worm in an apple, because then it's batel. Because half a worm is batel, because half a worm is not a berry, it's not a complete creature. However, a full worm, a full bug in your salad, in your water, that theoretically is a bigger problem, because they din the rabbana that berries lo batela. So that idea that, why is it not batel? Because a beria, an entire creature, when it's whole, has a certain kind of significance, a chashivus, and therefore, in the laws of bittul normally means I have iser and heter mixed together, but it's like the iser isn't there. You can't taste it. It's not there. There's so little. It's not there. For all intents and purposes, it's done a permanent disappearing act. But a beria is so important. It's so significant because it's a whole creature. So we in Yoredeya do not assume that beria applies to non-members who are not of the animal kingdom. Let me put it that way. It might be a sheet, but we don't say that. But I don't know if anybody actually says it, but it's mentioned in the Mishnah Makos that a whole kernel of wheat, would that be a beria? But we don't assume that way in the laws of Yoredeya. Nonetheless, there's Yerushalmi here that makes it sound as if you ate a thing, even though it didn't have a sheer kezias, but because it was an entire thing, therefore it would require bracha achrona. So again, the solution there was, well, only have two grapes. That's not such a terrible solution. The question is, what if I came into the room and there was only one after the kiddush, and the scavengers have been through the kiddush, and there's nothing left but one grape, and I'm really hungry for that one grape? I'm allowed to eat the grape. So anyway, you know, sometimes eating bread, washing and eating bread is a solution, but sometimes it's actually not a solution. So anyway, so let's begin our Gemara. A further compounding our Gemara's troubles a little bit is that there are a few lines that are missing in our Gemara. It's missing in all the printed editions. I don't think it's a censor's thing. In my little notes on the bottom, I wouldn't have noticed, but in my notes on the bottom, in fact, I realized that the Gemara, notes on the bottom, there's a line that he points out that's there in some of the Rishonim. And in fact, if you look in the manuscripts here, every single manuscript of the Gemara has these two lines that are missing. All the printed editions are missing it. I don't know why, but every manuscript actually has the lines. So let's begin. We're again on Lamed Vav, Amid Aleph. We're about approximately 10 lines down by the two dots. Kimcha dechite. Somebody wishes to eat flour from wheat. Now, we'll see in a moment, or a little bit in the Gemara, that flour barley might be considered different. Flour barley is inferior to that of the wheat. So, the Gemara says that kimcha dechite Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bori Pri Ha'adama, Rav Nachman Omer Shakol Niyeh Bidvara. So the question is, do you make Ha'adama, or do you make a Shahakol? So the, what are the two positions? So the Gemara doesn't say, at least the Gemara that we have printed in front of us. But there are two lines that fell out, which say the following. Rabbi Yehuda Omer Bore Pri Ha'adama Peirahu. It's not in the Gemara.
No, I know, but where are you looking on?
Oh, so you don't have it in your edition of the Gemara. In my Gemara, there's something on the side of the page, on the bottom of the page, called the Hagos Fitzyunim. This is in the Oz Bahadur edition, but that's not the one that, certainly not in the art school, and I think it's not even in the version the shul has ordered. So,
are modern printers faithfully adhere to this thing that should be there that isn't?
Whatever is printed on the page of the Vilna Shas is sacrosanct. Nobody touches it.
Okay.
Nobody touches it. It's virtually unheard of. There'll be, you know, by the time your grandchildren are learning Gemara, or maybe your great-grandchildren are learning Gemara, the Gemara will be six times the size, because there'll be notes on notes and notes and notes. But the one thing that's going to stay the same is this page. So the center of the page. Certainly the Gemara. So then nobody's going to put the lines back in, but they'll put a note on the side or put a note on the bottom. So, the Gemara, so the line that's missing, Josh, says the following. We just quoted Rav Yehuda and Rav Nachman arguing, and now we say that Rav Yehuda Omer, so it's not your Gemara, Bore Pri Adama. Now, this Gemara is doing a classic line. The Gemara will often say, here's an issue, Rav and Shmuel, Rav says X, Shmuel says Y. The Gemara will then elaborate and say, Rav says X, and give an explanation, and Shmuel says Y, and give an explanation. So here, that's the explanation part that's missing, but that's actually there in the manuscripts. Rav Yehuda Omer Bore Pri Adama, Peirahu. It's a Peiros Adama, it's something that grows from the earth. And the Aval Gav Dishkani, even though its form has changed, the Mosei Koi, it still stands Bidvaro in its matter, in its status. It's still Ha'adama, it doesn't change. Rav Nachman Amar Shakol Niyeh Bidvaro Hoil Ishtani Ishtani. Rav Nachman says no. Since it changed its form, it's now a Shahakol. Now, Rashi actually at least one. There is one Dibur Maskil in Rashi. That is still extant from this passage that never got erased for some reason. So I want to actually read the few Rashi's, starting with Kimcha Dechite. Rashi says Kimcha Dechite is Ochel Kemach Chitim Kemoshehi. Someone eats flour of wheat just as it is. So Rashi says it's regular flour. Borei Pri Adama, that's what Rabbi Yehuda said. Kishar Koseis Chitim. Later in the parak it says, if you chew on wheat, you make a bar pri adama. You don't make a mazonos. That's not the way. That's not the normal way. That's not the way. If you're going to chew on wheat kernels, it's going to probably have a very hard time getting a sufficient number of calories that way. It's probably very good as a diet mechanism, but not very good for calories. So you make a bar pri adama like koseis chitim. And now there's a word in Rashi. Which maybe two lines, which are probably from the earlier part, although I get it could be from the later part. He argues on the bottom it has to be earlier, but anyway, de ishtani vigora hovivelo ishtani li amaliyasa. So Rashi, you have to read Rashi really, really carefully here. Right now it says bishtani, that it was changed, vigora, and it is. It is now inferior. I don't know that Rashi means it's an inferior form or it's inferior halachically. Since it wasn't changed into a higher form or maybe the highest form. Nonetheless, right, so that looks like that's part of Rav Nachman's statement, Hol v'shtani ishtani.
So like it's not bread.
Right, it hasn't been turned into bread, correct. Now, b'mil seikai. Let's read on in the Gemara, because that's that one line in Rashi, the Ishtani, that's in the wrong order, unless Rashi has our section of the Gemara. So the Gemara now says the following. Amar le Rav Nachman. Rav Rava says to Rav Nachman, lo tifla galah de Rabbi Yehuda. You shouldn't argue with Rabbi Yehuda. The Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel kaimei kivaseh. Rabbi Yochanan and Shmuel both agree with Rabbi Yehuda. The Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel. Okay, grant that he's the one quoting. V'chein Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, Amar Rabbi Yochanan. Shemen zayis nevarchen alav barei preitz. If you may have olive oil, you make a bari priya eitz on it. This was another piece that connects it to the previous discussion. Now, why? Oh, what do you see from that? Alma afal gad bishani b'milsei koin. Even though it's changed its form, it's still there. It still has the same status. It still has the same bracha. Hachanami afal gad bishani b'milsei koin. The same thing by the flower. So the Gemara or Rav Nachman respond to the Rav Midami. They're not similar. Hasam. Lesle iluya acharina bepas. Ha acharina. Hocha isle iluya acharina bepas. There, by olive oil, that is the highest form of the consumption of olives, is olive oil. Flour, certainly not the end stage. It's not the best way to consume wheat. The best way to do it is bread. And therefore, when it's changed into a superior form, it retains its bracha. If it's changed into something which has an iluya acharina, it has a superior form, and this is not it. So therefore, lo mavarchan alav v'chis le iluya acharina, lo mavarchan alav pri adama, ela shehakol. Okay. So the question now becomes: why is it that if it's mishtane, that it loses its bracha? Or, better way of putting it, what is the shinui? What is the shinui that we are talking about? So,
there has to be a process about any of these things, like baking or fermentation, or to get to this higher form.
No. Not necessarily. I mean, I don't know of any examples of him, but if you had a form where just crushing it or grinding it up were a higher form, then, you know, let's say there's an intermediate stage of some kind. Anything that would, any kind of transformation, I think, constitutes a nishtane. I mean, that's a question. Like, there is one of the issues discussed in Shulchan Aruch.
The Tosfos says oatmeal, that's what granola, basically, that's what it is. It's crushed up oats, and it's higher form of the oats.
So I think that that's a devar pasha, but I think that a lot of people say you don't make mizonos. Well, assuming you make mizonos on oats.
In general, that's right.
Assuming you make it in general, there are people who say you don't make it on a granola bar. I don't think that that's correct, but
right.
there certainly is, that seems to be a pretty mainstream opinion. So anyway, but let's hold off. We have a lot of work to do to get there. So let's just first, before we go back and talk about how the Rishonim actually handle this. So firstly, there's two questions here. Number one, what exactly is Rav Nachman's position? Put differently, under what circumstances would Rav Nachman say if it was Ishtani, you loses its bracha and it becomes a shakal? Number two, putting that all aside, who do we paskin like? Right? It could be Rav Nachman holds that way, but we don't. So both of those are questions that have to be addressed, but let's hold off on that. Okay, so now the Gemara continues and says, "V'ha'amar Rabbi Zera, Amar Rabbi Matana, Amar Shmuel, Atara Chaya v'Kimcha Desare Mivarchen Alayu Shakol Niyeh B'Dvaro." So, Akara is a gourd of some kind, a raw gourd. Okay, so imagine you take butternut squash or something like that, and you eat it, raw. I mean, there are probably things that technically are gourds that are perfectly edible raw. I think a cucumber is the same family. Squash also. But take certain members of the family. Butternut squash. I assume a pumpkin also, but I never had pumpkin, so I don't know what they...
Can't eat it raw.
So it's like you know, butternut squash and all those, you know, that kind of squash. So someone who eats raw squash, a raw gourd, or flour of barley, you make a shahakal. So my love, can you not infer that the chite is bari pri adama? If you're trying to give us examples that are, I'm afraid to spill any beans here, things that are not really that edible raw, so why did you not give us the example of kimcha de chite? Why give us kimcha de sari? barley generally is considered an inferior grain. It was regarded by Chazal, and probably is still true to some, not quite totally true, as animal fodder. I don't know. It's cooked barley seems perfectly fine to me, but, you know, what do I know? But that's what they typically used it for. That's why the Mishnah in Sota says that, the Mishnah, the Gemara in Sota says that the reason why the Minchas Sa'urim, the Minchas Sota was of barley was because he asa samachal behema, he asa masa behema lafikach, we bring the carbon of machal behema. So why choose barley? Choose wheat. Obviously, the inference we are to make from Shmuel should be that wheat flour would be ha'adama, not shahakol. So,
I don't follow the logic there.
They quote Shmuel as saying, this is the argument against Rav Nachman. They quote Shmuel as saying that raw gourds and raw and barley flour you make a shahakol on. The inference is barley flour you make a shahakol on, but wheat flour you make ha'adama on. Because the wheat flour is, you know, would have been a bigger chiddush that you make a shahakol, because barley is less edible than wheat generally. So the Gemara says, I skipped the line. So the Gemara says, "My lad, dechite per adama." Lo, dechite nami shachol mivar. No, wheat is the same thing. So the Gemara says, "V'lashmi ina dechite v'kol shekein desare." Why don't you? Why tell us the barley? Tell us the wheat, and certainly orim would be shahakol. So the Gemara says, "No, I ashmi ina dechite havamina hani mina dechite." I would have said that chitim you make a shahakol on the flour. Avol desare lo mivrach alech klal. You would say, "Don't make a brach at all on barley, raw barley flour." Kamash malon, that you do. So the Gemara says that havamina, that if I hadn't told you kimcha desare, if I had told you only kimcha dechite, you would have said, but that kimcha dechite make shaklon. You don't need to make a bracha. You don't make a bracha on barley flour. Really, you would have said that. Umi gara mi melach v'zamis. Is it any less than someone who eats salt? Zamis is a question of what it is. Rashi says salt water. The Ran quotes Rashi, quotes another interpretation. Ditznan ala melech ve'ala zamis omer shakol niyeh bedvaro. So why would you think that barley flour is any less of benefit that accrues to the person? So the Gemara says salka daita hamina melech ve'zamis of it inishnesha de lepume. Now, I would have thought that melech and zamis people will occasionally, you know, it's like, you know, they need to keep their hands busy, their mouth busy, so they put it in, even though it's not that good. However, aval kimcha desare, barley flour, hol v'kasha l'kukiani, it's bad, apparently, for some worms, it's got some worms in it, some parasite, lo liver chalakal, you shouldn't make a brach at all, it kamash malon, cheven de'isle hana mine boy baruche. Since you get benefit from it, you have to make a bracha. I might jokingly say, you would think that maybe you shouldn't make a bracha on Coca-Cola, because it's, you know, it's toxic, but, because people do get hana from it, clearly, so obviously you have to make a bracha on it. Okay. Anyway, so that's what the Gemara leaves. The Gemara leaves this as a machlokes, Rav Yehuda and a Rav Nachman, as to whether you make a shahakal or a bari priyadama on wheat flour. Now, Tosos comes along here and writes the following on Kimcha Dechite. Nire, the fourth Tosos from the top, or the second from second to last. Nire de lo mairi bekimcha mamish. De im kein lo shaychi be bracha de bari prihadama. Nobody would say you make a bari prihadama on flour. I mean, I've never actually tried it, but anybody, which is probably, I assume all of us, have been around flour at one time or another. Could you imagine eating flour? What, Lenny, what's that?
Yeah.
Okay, I think, it's you know, it's like sticking a powder in your mouth.
There are people who eat it. It's a sign of malnutrition. It's like they eat soil also.
I got it. Okay. So, so one of the things that is an extreme example. One of the things that I learned when I taught brachos is I would never ever say nobody eats this, because I at least had one student raise it and said, "Well, I do."
I think there's a word chthonophagia. I think that's what it is. Someone
okay.
Wants to eat soil.
So yes, but I would say that under normal ordinary circumstances, even under slightly abnormal extraordinary circumstances, people do not typically eat flour. It doesn't seem to be so edible. So Tosfos doesn't say that you shouldn't have a bracha as much as nobody would be doing that. So certainly he says, you know, Bori Pri Adama, come on. Elamayri bekimcha shekorin ishkalitar o vekemach osim shibulashual shemiyabshim bitana. Ah, Tosfos says no. It means that you roast this stuff in the oven, which certainly generally tends to make stuff sweeter, tends to concentrate whatever natural sugars exist there. And that's something somebody might eat. But eating the powder, a powdery flour, nobody eats that. So Tosfos says that the machlokes is about not literally wheat flour, but some derivative. It might be a flour form, but would have been wheat where you roasted it, either the flour, you roasted the kernels, so that might at least be a little bit edible, that somebody could say you make a bari pri adam. Okay. So let me ask you a question. If you are going to Paskin, putting aside for the moment which type of, whatever the flour we're talking about here is, if we're going to Paskin that you make a shahakal on it, why do you make a shahakal on it? It's not a trick question. I'm asking just to recap, but I want to emphasize something before we make trouble.
You're saying that it's no longer the original form.
It's ishtane. It's ishtane, and it's not ishtane lamal yusa. It's certainly not an improvement. It's not its final form. It's not an improved form. Okay. So now, let's take a look. Not everybody has this, but if you, those who don't have it in an art school, you might want to grab a regular Gemara. And I would like to take a look at the riff here.
According to Tosfos, how is it ishtane? It's just roasted wheat kernels.
Ground up.
It's crushed up in some way.
Ground up. Then it's ground up.
Ground up raw kernels. Raw enough kernels will be cooked. Okay.
Right, you roasted the kernels,
but not to a flour.
And then you grind it up into little pieces. It might be flat. I don't know how.
Granola. You should go with shual. Should be option with granola.
Okay. So it might. Think about. Look at the oats. I'm sure you did the same thing. Yeah. One is the gluten variety. One's the gluten free variety. That's all. Oh, so now turn in the riff. It's near the beginning of the sixth parak. I believe it's going to be page Chafheim et Aleph for you. I just have to translate from my edition to that. It should be on Chafheim et Aleph. And I'll begin with... So we'll start in the riff. It's probably... let me see. Again, I'm not. My edition looks different. Do you see it already? Or are you asking me?
Wait, tell me what to look for.
The word is Kimcha Dechite. It's probably most of the way down on the page. It's towards the bottom.
Yeah, I got it.
Okay, it should be after a colon.
It is five lines up.
Yeah. What's that? It's on the bottom of Chafheim et Aleph, yeah.
Five lines up.
So let's start with the riff first. The riff says, Kimcha Dechite, Rav Yehuda Amar Bori Pri Adama, V'Rav Nachman Amar Shahakol. That's just the Gemara. No surprises there. Now, Umistabra, it would appear to be the case, Ki Rav Nachman, that we should paskin like Rav Nachman. Why? The lo regile inche lisapuye kimcha. Because people don't normally eat flour. Vahachi psaku ravasa, and thus passed in my teachers. Vachain kimcha disare nami shahako, barley flour is also shahako, the amar shmuel, karachaye vekimcha disare, mevarechan ala shahako. Okay, so the Rif Paskin is like Rav Nachman. It's not crazy. But what is strange about the riff? There's something very odd about the riff.
He certainly doesn't think like Tosfos that you like cook the wheat.
He doesn't say anything about that, but I'll grant you, correct. If he doesn't say anything, he's not working with Tosfos' approach. Agreed. 100%. But there's something very odd about the riff, which catches the attention of Rabbeinu Yonah. What's the reason the riff says you make a shot? Why should you possibly make a shakal on it?
People don't eat it.
Because nobody eats it.
Yeah.
Not because it's ishtane. No. Now, even if you took out the two lines that we had in our Gemara, in other words, the line that explains Rabbi Yehuda and Rav Nachman, Rabbi Yehuda says, Afal gav dishtani b'milsekai, and Rav Nachman says, hold ishtani, even if you take those lines out, from the continuation of the Gemara, it seems that the issue is about ishtani. Right? Because Rava invokes Shmuel to prove to Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda is correct, because Shmuel says, and Rav Yochanan say, that if you change olives into olive oil, you still make a bari per eitz. So too here. And Rav Nachman says, yeah, but this was ishtani, this has an ilui acharina. So it certainly sounds like the reasoning is such, although maybe the Rif doesn't have it in the Gemara, maybe he has a way of reading the rest of the Gemara. Now, if you take a look in the Ran with Dibur HaMaschel v'Rav Nachman Amar, is that the...
Yeah.
Okay, Rav Nachman Amar Shehakol. Dechevon de'ishtani ishtani. He quotes, he seems to have the Gemara as the manuscripts have it. V'kosfu harif v'hagaonim zal v'halacha k'Rav Nachman. They paschal like Rav Nachman, v'tayma didhu mishum de lo regile inchi l'sapuye kimcha. That's just what the Rif said. V'ein ze nira lemori harav notar rachmane uparke. Rabbeinu Yonah didn't agree. Mipnei shebegemara nira b'feirush the halacha k'Rabbi Yehuda. Firstly, in terms of the psak halacha, it appears we pass like Rabbi Yehuda. Why? The Shmuel v'Rabbi Yochanan ka'i kavasei. Shmuel Rabbi Yochanan agree with him. Did I? I'm sorry. The Amar Le, the Amrina Hasam, Amar Le Rabbi Lor Nachman, lo tiflug aled the Rabbi Yehuda, the Shmuel of Rabbi Yochanan Kai Kavase. Rabbi Nachman said, you should argue on Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi said to Rabbi Nachman, you should argue on Rabbi Yehuda, because Shmuel and Rabbi Yochanan agree with him. The Shem and Zayis of Baruch HaLabba operates. Now, all you're going to stop now saying, what's Rabbi Yehuda talking about? Very nice. But except that, I apologize if I said the Ran. I'm thinking from the other Mesech I'm learning. So Rabbi, normally it's the Ran is the commentary on the Rif. In Brachas, it's coming to Rabbi Yonah. So you're going to say to me, what's Rabbi Yonah talking about? The Gemara, Rabbi Nachman answered the question. Rabbi said, don't argue on Yehuda because Shmuel and Rabbi agree with him. And Rabbi Nachman said, they're not comparable. So the Rabbi Yonah says, Afal Gav de Ishtani, even though, and even though it was Nishtane, lo Nishtane Birchas, so Hachinami. So he quotes this straightforward. That's what Rava says to Nachman, that he has big guns to back him. And therefore, the Chavan, the Rava, the Hubasra, Sover, Rav Yehuda, since Rava holds like Rav Nachman, like Rav Yehuda, we should paskin like Rava, because we always paskin like Rava against the earlier Amorim. The afal pisha Rav Nachman heshiv amar midami. Even though Rav Nachman had a response to Rava, and he said they're not comparable. Hasam laka liyachrina hacha iliyachrina bepas. So even though Rav Nachman had a response to Rava's taina, nonetheless afilu hachi kaven shalohaya docha oso mikoach mishnah vilo mikoach brisa ela mikoach svara. Rav Nachman just said misara. He wanted to make a distinction. He didn't have any specific position to back his distinction explicitly. Therefore, in lanu lahania svaras Rava, Rava who saw no distinction between the two, that's why he asked the question. We should not set aside Rava's svara, bavur svaras Rav Nachman. In other words, if it's svara Rava and svara Rav Nachman, whether they're comparable or not, hilchas kavasrai will follow later authority. If Rav Nachman had invoked an earlier mishnah brisa, so that would be a different story. The ode, the Rav Nachman Gufei lo Amar Shahakol, mitam shein derech b'nei adam la'ochlo. That's not why Rav Nachman said, you make a shahakol, the way the Rif and the Gaonim say. It's not because people don't normally eat it. Ve'im ki divrehim sheposkim l'kula mizeh hatam. If you're supposed to paskim this way, for this reason, hoya lo l'Rav Nachman lomar midami hasam derechu lechol Hashem al ayyadei anigron kidichsiv la'el. Aval kimcha ein derech b'nei adam la'ocha. That's where Nachman should have responded. He shouldn't have responded by saying that the one is nishtana for a better form. He should have said, normal people don't eat wheat flour. Normal people do eat shemen when it's ayadei anigron. In fact, we said earlier, if you drink the shemen straight up, you don't make a brach at all. Because people don't do that because it's magic. So therefore, mechevan shrev Nachman atzma lo amar mizeh atam, if Rav Nachman didn't say because normally people don't eat it as a reason not to make adama. Hechi cholim heim lifso kemoso mitam shlo hiskoso chol. How can you pass Rav Nachman but lab mitame? Can make up a shita. In other words, both it would seem Rava and Rav Nachman don't see the fact that people don't typically eat it in itself as a reason not to make its bracha. So you're basically passing it for Nachman and you're inventing your own reason. Now, again, it is possible without having that dirsa in the Gemara that that's the reason, but then the Gemara, you could try to work it out. But the Ran offers his own possibility. Efshar l'taritz v'lomar, the hachi ka'amar, ein l'damosam zo l'zo, the hosam lesle iluya acharine, hosle hacha isle iluya acharine b'pas. Now, you could say what the Gemara means when you get to the end, and Rav Nachman says there it has no iluya acharine. Shem and Zayis is the final stage. Here, there is a better form to come,
right. Bread.
What that means is v'yotza michlal din harishon shekovea bracha chashuva yoser. It has now exited the first din, meaning the first state where it earned a more important bracha. Adam is more important than shahakol because it's more specific. V'afilu hachi kozman shelo igia la'oso ha'iloi. As long as it hasn't reached a higher form, hovil v'hu garua achshav ayideze hashinui she'enroi lachila mevarach lov shahakol. And it's what you're saying. What the Ran is suggesting for the Rif is the following: when we say hol v'ishtani ishtani, it doesn't mean once it's changed its form, that's why you don't make a bar at paradama. No, it's once it's changed its form into an inferior state. And the proof that it's an inferior state is that people don't eat it. So then it loses its original bracha, but it hasn't reached the new stage of hamotzi lechem min ha'aretz. So that when the Rif says that people don't normally eat it, that's the explanation of ho v'ishtani ishtani, means it's been changed into an inferior form. Now, I would note immediately here that this is the interpretation of the Rif and the Gaonim, there is no such concept that just because you change its form, that you don't no longer make the original bracha. It would have to be changed into an inferior form. I think it's fair to say that any food that's bought that's made by food companies, that is sold by the ton, by definition is not ishtani ligriusa, right? If millions of people eat it that way, it's just an alternative way of eating it. It's just an alternative way of eating it. Going back to the question I started with earlier, the Pringles question, the reason why Rebelsky Paskin is that you make a Hadamah is following Mishnah Berurah, who said, based upon what the Mishnah Berurah says, Mishnah Berurah doesn't talk about Pringles, but the Mishnah Berurah says that if most of its consumption is Ayyidei Shinoi, by exchanging, so then, of a particular food, then the bracha doesn't change. You still get hadama. And the argument was that most potatoes in this country are not consumed whole. They are converted, they are processed into something else. And therefore, it retains the bracha hadama. I don't know. The truth is, I would imagine they more better position to know than we would. Misvara, to give that psak that you make hadama, you don't really, following the Ran here, Rabbeinu Yonah here, and the way he explains the Rif, and the way a lot of other Rishonim are going to explain it, the Rashba and the Ritva, and others, you don't need a rov. In other words, if we go back and look at Rashi for a second, just turn back, keep your place here in the Rabbeinu Yonah. Just turn to Rashi back in the Gemara for a second. Rashi says, the Dibur Maschil, Hocha Islei Iluya Harina. This was Rav Nachman's response to Rava, why he disagreed with Rabbi Yehuda, and why Shem and Zayis, why olive oil was not comparable to wheat flour. Wheat flour is not comparable to olive oil. He says, Hilkach, Yotza michlal pri ulechlal derech achiloso lo ba. Right? It is no longer the actual original fruit, the wheat kernels, but it hasn't reached derech achiloso, which is very much the way Rabbi Yonah is interpreting the Rif. And therefore, you don't make the Bari Pri Adama. Right? I don't think anybody would say that Pringles and other kinds of potato things are not derech achilasa. If millions of people eat it this way and pay lots of money to do so, relatively speaking, compared to these raw potatoes, clearly it's derech achilasa. It's really hard to argue otherwise. Okay. We still have ways to go on this, though. So now, the Rabbeinu Yonah continues and says the following. Rabbeinu Yitzchak HaZokein, Tosos, Piresh, the Rabbi Yehud, the Rabbi Nachman, lo nechleku bedavar, bekemach soles. They didn't argue about actual flour. Ela b'shibolin shecharacham be'odam lachem. With stalks or whatever you want to call the individual things of wheat that you roasted when they were still moist. Rabbi Yehuda sfirelet the mevarech aleim borei pri ha'adama. You make a borei pri ha'adama kamalak koses esachita. Shederach achila b'kach. That's normal way to eat things. V'ram Nachman sfirelet the chevan b'shtani. Even though it's normal to eat it, ishtani. Its form has changed. The afal pi shederach achila b'kach, even though that's normal. The ein mevarach on alav ela shahako, but the halacha ki Rav Yehuda, we paskin like Rav Yehuda. The ha the rabba du basra ki vasei sirelei, umevarach ala shibolim shelchitim shecharachin vorei pri hadama. On wheat kernels that you roasted, and then maybe you break them up. I assume that's why it's called kimcha. It's not klayos. It's actually broken up afterwards. So those you make ha'adama, ve'al shel sahorim shahakol mishum de lo achilei inche. But on barley, similar form of barley, you make a shahakol because people don't normally eat it. Ve'shemazik, it's bad for you. Avo bekemach soles lo nechlekun. Nobody argues about kemach soles because nobody eats it. U'misvara lo nidan oso kemo kemach shibolim ve'en varech alav ele shahakol kevan shein derech b'nei adam l'ocha. So, but this position doesn't have to confront the problem in the Gemara, because the Gemara is not talking about kemach soles of chitin. It's not talking about real wheat flour. It's talking about kernels of wheat that you roasted and then you broke up. So there, it is normal to eat it. It's just that it's ishtani. So Rav Nachman says ishtani, nu bracha shahakol. And Rav Yehuda says, no, doesn't matter if it's ishtani. It's derech achilas b'kach. So just like you, on the koses is achitin, when you chew on the raw kernels, you make a bari pri adama. So too here, you make a bari pri adama. The Rabbeinu Yonah continues. Nimtza achshav sheyishar hadin bekemach soles, kemo shekasev arivzal sheinu mevarech alav l'shahakol. So it turns out, according to Tosos, he agrees with the psak of the Rif and the Gonim, but not for the same reason. The Rif and the Gonim say that on real wheat flour, you make shahakol because we paskin like Rav Nachman. And Tosos says that no, we don't pass like Rav Nachman, but the reason why you make a shakel on actual wheat flour is because Rav Nachman and Yehuda weren't arguing about actual wheat flour. They were arguing about kemach klayos, the flour derived from the roasted kernels. V'lo mitam shelo, not for the reason of the rif, shesover shrav Yehuda Rav Nachman nechleku b'zeh, alachik Rav Nachman, shezeh eno. Wrong. Devadai alachik Rav Yehuda, v'lo nechleku b'zeh, but they didn't argue about it, kidecha svinan. It's simply a svara. Now, so what it turns out is you can paskin both like the Rif and Tosfos, but not the way the Rif understood things. You could just say that kemach soles is shahakol because people don't normally eat it that way. That's a different category. And roasted kernel flour, you make a hadama on because people eat it that way. And just because of ishtani, it doesn't actually matter. So the conclusion of Tosfos and the conclusion of Rabbeinu Yonah and a number of other Rishonim is, we don't care whether it's ishtani, and we don't care if there's a better form afterwards. We only care whether it's derech achilas b'kach. Okay, but the adayin yesh lanu lishol, yesh lanu ladas, kishe'ochel hashibolim shecharachan, o akemach shalahem atzmo, ma yivarech l'vesof. What bracha achrona do you make? And why is this complicated? Well, what bracha achrona would you say? Well, you made hadama before, so what would the bracha afterwards be? They say barna pashas. So only one problem. What does this roasted kernel flour come from? The chamisha smine dagan. And when you have chamisha smine dagan, when it's not bread, what bracha do you make after it? Alamichya. The only problem is, you can't make an alamichya on this because it's not in the form that is really conducive to michya, because you can't really sustain yourself on this. So what do you do? So, yesh omrim, shekimosha mevarech. What then? Stolen Rabbeinu Yonah. Yesh omrim, shekimosha mevarech ala eitz ve'al pri ha'eitz. Gam ke mevarech, we're going to have to change all of our siddur now. Al ha'adama ve'al pri ha'adama. We've got to add in a fourth option, right? You have eitz ve'al pri ha'eitz. We'll have a fourth one. This does not appear to be correct. Nowhere does the Gemara mention such a nusach. How can we invent our own? If you say don't make a bracha at all, lo yitachin. He writes min haTorah, although later he doesn't think this way. There's a big machlokas harishonim whether al hamichya is daraisa. In other words, whether it's still a chiyav daraisa, we just don't make you do the full three brachas. Some might take out that word min haTorah. I don't know if there's a note. I have a note of mine, but because later in the parakeet he's going to say he doesn't think it's correct. He thinks Alam Echid is always the Rabbanan. Only thing that's the Raisa is Birchas HaMazon. So he says anyway, V'heich yichtar atzma mechia batorah by not making any bracha. V'ramzal kosav shemivarech b'self v'ar nefashos v'lefaninu narech b'yur b'zeh b'sef. That would be the consensus opinion you make of v'ar nefashos. However, he will say that later in the parakeet. And he quotes the Rambam as saying it. I think Tosis says later in the parak, therefore it's better not to eat this on its own, but rather to have it in the context of a meal. The alternative, of course, is to make sure you have a cookie too and some water, and then you can eat this and could whichever bracha it's. Well, actually, no, it wouldn't absolve you of the safek. It might. I don't know. Anyway, so Tosis, I think, probably will say you should only have it, you know, after you've had bread, and which is a little bit inconvenient if you want to eat it, because typically when you're eating it, you don't want to go and wash. So, okay. So how do we paskin? So in the Shulchan Aruch, I'll read to you, if you're not going to have this in this handy-dandy edition. It also has all the Rambams and the Shulchan Aruch's quoted in the back. It's basically, you know how to find it, because you look on the side, the Mishpat Ner Mitzvah. I think we've done this exercise before. So basically, he collects all of those, and generally pretty good. I've rarely seen them miss one to get it back there. And so what the Shulchan Aruch says in, where is it? Is it in Reish Ches? Maybe Reish Ches. Yeah, Simon Reish Ches, Sifei. Kemach, afilu shelchitim, mevarech alav shahakol, ve'acharav barei nefashas. Loshna nitchan dak, Loshna nitchan tzas raden yesh b'tam shalchitim, loshna kemach shel klayos. So Mechaber is machmir, like Tosos. The Tur already is machmir that way, and says, look, it's a machlokas harishonim, what bracha you should really be making on it. And therefore, I suspect the Rambam paskins, the Rambam paskins shahakol. Therefore, rather than sticking our head into a machlokas, just make shahakol, which your yotzei with, according to everybody, to avoid the safek. The Mishnah Brura, I'm sure I remember, not here, but it would be theoretically applicable here. So earlier, I'll quote the other din, which we haven't seen here. It's going to come up later in the parak. But in Simon Reish Beis, Sif Zayin, the Mechaber writes the following. Tzmarim shemi'achon biyad. You make a paste out of dates. So it doesn't look like the dates anymore, but it's still all the same material. You took out the pits. Chaber says, doesn't change the bracha eitz, and may ein shalosh afterwards. The Ramah comes along and says, Uluf pizeh hu hadin, Bilitorin hanikra pavidla. Don't know what that is exactly. Mevarech aleichem bari priya eats. But v'yeshomrim levarech aleim shahakol. There's other food that the Ramah cites. Some say this Ramah is going on both things, the Mechaber's and the one that he added. Some say it's only on the one that he added. He says, therefore, v'tov lochosh lechatchila levarech shahakol. Better just to make a shahakol. Aval, in Birech Bar Preitz Yatza, Kichener Ika. That would appear to be the correct opinion. So I believe it's on this that the Mishnah Brura says, I think it's Sifkatan Membalin, where the Mishnah Brura says that if most people eat it this way, if the majority of the stuff is eaten this way, so then even the Ramah would not be concerned, and you would make a Bari Priya Eitz on this particular thing. Okay, so we're going to revisit this. We're going to revisit this, but But this is a major machlokas harishonim, how to understand what Rav Nachman and Rav Yehuda are arguing about, and what the role of Ishtani plays, and how to paskin. So, as I said, most Rishonim would assume that Ishtani doesn't matter if it's normal to eat it, for one reason or another, either because we paskin like Rabbi Yehuda, or because it's normal to eat it that way. So between the two of them, most Rishonim assume that you would make Ha'adama. Okay, Shulchan Aruch Nachmir, because you'll be Yotze that way.
But the Shulchan Aruch, when he says you know, Shahakol, because he's understanding, he, the case he's talking about are the wheat.
All, he talks about all of them.
Not edible.
All of them. He mentions both that and Tamashal Klayas.
And something that is edible.
Yes. He mentioned, the psak of the Shulchan Aruch is to say that we paskin like Rav Nachman, and the machlokas is by all flowers. So even though most Rishonim would say, almost all Rishonim would say that if it's straight flour, you make a shahakal, either because that's what Rav Nachman said, or because there's no argument about that. And most Rishonim would say that kemach shoklayos, that you make hadam on it, either because maybe they weren't arguing about it, or because we paskin like Rav Yehuda, there's the real reason. Nonetheless, the mechaber ends up being machmir to only make to make a shahakol. This way, you avoid the.
Is that him sun. Taking an opinion, or it's like his lazy way out? Like, do this, and you'll
well, the, everybody. Ostensibly, I think the Rambam's opinion. I'll tell you in a second. Again, the Rif and the Rambam do not distinguish between the kinds of flour, and they paskin like Rav Nachman. So it is not inconceivable. They believe, you know, the Ran does. Rabbeinu Yonah. Can't learn two Masechtas for two different Rishonim on the Rif at the same time. That's really confused. Rabbeinu Yonah makes it, doesn't make, knows, he thinks that we would paskin like the Rif and not for the Rif's reason. But the he doesn't say what the Rif Shita would be. He doesn't say that the Rif is only paskin that way by real flour, but the Rif would agree with Tosos that by Kemah of Klayos that you would make Ha'adama like Rav Yehuda. No, the Rif presumably believes across the board, you make a shahakol, period. And it doesn't matter what the kemach is. That's how the Shulchan Aruch is possible.
So why is it a tape of tape?
Why is a tape of date according to the Mechaber?
Why shouldn't that be also a shahakol?
So he might say that's a good question. I think he would say that in this case, it's still sort of... It hasn't changed enough, yeah, I think so. That's a good question. How does he put the two together? I don't know. I actually have to look and see. I didn't kind of think about that question. Because I think on the Kemach Shoklayos, it really is a contradiction. I don't know. I have
Isn't
to...
Paskin, oatmeal, granola, all that shahakol?
No. The people, I think, say Ha'adama, no?
On oatmeal?
I think for sure you should make mizonos on. Because that's the Iluya Achrina. That is.
Using oatmeal as mizonos?
Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, if I made mizonos on oats.
That's what I was saying. No.
There's wheat. Whatever the wheat equivalent of. Right. That you make. I make a mizonos. If I eat it, I make a mizonos on. Yes.
It's very tough for a normal person who's not a rabbi to, like, know what bracha for what. I mean, some of these things are very complicated.
So, but at the end of the day, you learn the sugya and you get the answer. Yes. Yes, I discovered that yes, I... Okay. There you go. So just remind your children, in case they picked up on the Shagas, that if you have oats, my son knew when he was in the bracha being Mariah, he knew that the answer to Cheerios was mizonos. He didn't, you know, he didn't...
I used to shackle on Cheerios also.
Shahakol. I don't eat Cheerios, but if I did, I would say Ha'adama.
Ha'adama
so.
On Cheerios?
Yeah.
Ha'adama.
So she'll get it wrong with the bracha.
Why?
Because our oats are not really shibola chual.
Oh, sorry. Cheerios are made out of what?
Oats. Okay. Anyway, bottom line is, if you don't hold the mind of Shagas, even though it's correct, so you make him his own assigned Cheerios, that's all. All right, there you go.
What about Rice Krispies?
I haven't thought it's Mizonos. You know?
So why isn't Cheerios shahakol if it's not, if it's Ishtani? Cheerios is our Ishtani. It's baked.
No, no, so first thing I would say, again...
Oh, it's baked, because that's the aluya.
Well, I would also say that, again, it might be a majority of the oats in this country are eating materials. To me, it seems intuitive that you shouldn't need a rove, literally. If you have reams and reams and tons okay. consumed this way, that's enough to be considered, call it an iluya achrina. And by another way of describing it, it's one of the multiple iluyas that a food is eaten with. It's a problem of translating from the Gemara into a world where food processing is totally different. Right? There's no such thing as industrial food production on the scale of the kind that we have back then. Individuals made and sold, but it wasn't, it was not on the scale that we do today, right? And therefore, it's not easy, I think, to turn around and say that just to look at it as a rove, when 40% of the country, 40% of the oats are eaten that way, it's just hard to say that
One more time, why do you make Hadama on Cheerios?
Because if I had whatever form of oats that you would make Mizonos on, if I had oat bread, oat matzah, I wouldn't make hamotzi on it. I would make bari pre adam on it. Oats to me are like beans. It's mina dagan.
But our oats,
Shibola shual of the Gemara is not the species that we refer to as oats. Shibola shual of the Gemara was probably a species of barley of some kind. Okay. And the reason is because oats do not have gluten in them. Hence, they cannot leaven. Therefore, they should not be qualified for matzah.
Gluten-free matzah is a preposterous thing.
If it's oats. If it's wheat with the gluten stripped from it, not as clear.
The whole point of matzah is that it's something that could have risen.
Correct. No, agreed.
And what makes something rise is
yes.
gluten. So.
Yes. Right. But the only question about it, Feldman, is that when you talk about that, are you defining a species? In other words, oats are not chamishas made of dal and can't be used because they do not contain gluten in it. What if you have wheat that has gluten in it, but in the processing you strip it and make the matzah, so when you made your matzah, it couldn't become chametz. I think that's actually a machlokas harishonim in the discussion of matzah shir, if you read the Ramban and the Mechamas. I don't know, but there is wheat that has had the gluten strip from it. That I know exists.
I know that. I've seen the old matzah, but I don't know.
No, in fact, one big Talmud Chacham was so happy, so overjoyed, because a lot of the oats in this country are contaminated. There's cross in the contamination. And he said he found a variety for the celiac people which has no gluten, which is not famine. And I'm thinking to myself, exactly, and now you've just demonstrated why it's no good. Okay, the way it is.
So farina, what's farina? Which is a
wheat cereal.
Should be shahako.
No. That's the Mizonos.
But that's what is the...
This is the Iluya Achrina.
No.
It's not... I don't think there's only one kind. Not only one kind. Yeah. So I think that's the make Mizonos on it. Okay. Anyway. All right. We will stop here. We will pick up next week. Next week we will begin with the discussion of Hearts of Palm. Okay.